The Mel Gedroyd Podcast.
Hey, it's Mel G here, and this week on my Natty Little Podcast, we shall be talking about A, muffins, B, child labour, and C, what's the last photo you took on your phone? Yeah, it's varied, there's great breadth there, there's good girth. And if you do like that, then do have a listen to me every Saturday lunchtime from 1 on Magic. There will be more chat and some great songs thrown in for good measure. Hello there, Bush.
Hey, how you doing?
Very, very strong. Good to see you, Mighty Bush.
How are you feeling today? You all right?
I'm good. Now, listen, it's February the 4th.
Mm.
January is behind us.
Yes.
All those resolutions have crumbled away. I'm saying no. I'm saying no. We keep with our thoughts.
Yeah.
Very, very strongly. Yeah?
Aren't we allowed to just take our foot off the gas a little bit now?
No.
And
to help us along the way, I've created something which I have in a box here.
You brought in a pet. A little plastic pot with a stick insect in it.
It could be a little dwarf hamster, couldn't
it? It could be, yeah.
Although the lid is a bit tight for that.
I hope you put some holes in the top.
Now, listen, I have fashioned for us today... I'm actually salivating. My friends, welcome to...
Oh, wow.
Muffins, yeah, but there is not a single bit of sugar within these muffins.
Can I just describe them for the listeners, Mel? They are dark brown chocolatey. They look gorgeous. They're sat there in a little plastic Tupperware pot. It looks amazing.
I've made a special nut topping. Actually, there is a little bit of sugar. I tell a lie.
That's fine.
There's a tiny bit of dark chocolate on the top.
Yeah.
But I thought, come on, 85% cacao?
Yeah.
That's all right. That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, would you like to try some?
Oh, yes, please.
Good. I am actually salivating. I'm quite excited.
I'm going to bib up, if that's all right. So
yeah,
bib up.
Bib yourself up, mate. So we've got, within the muff, we've got ground almonds. We've got loads of raisins.
Oh, this looks lovely.
We have got loads of Brazil nuts.
Are these heart-shaped as well?
They're heart-shaped. We've got coconut oil. And I'd like to pass them off as my own recipe.
Yeah.
Actually had a little bit of help with them. A very lovely woman called Jane.
Oh, thanks, Jane.
Yeah.
How do you know Jane?
From the Great British Bake Off.
Oh,
cool. Or even the Great British Bake Off. She was one of the finalists. Right, now, tuck in, gang, and honest thoughts. Oh, slightly dry.
That's absolutely lovely. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
There's nuts coming through here. I feel like Paul Hollywood. Lovely chocolate bits on the top as well. And it feels kind of good for me. It doesn't feel like it's bad for me.
This will actually make you lose weight.
Really? She says, ramming another bit in.
Did I mention they were gluten-free as well? I used gluten-free self-raising flour and ground almonds. I'm literally still eating the chocolate muffin that is good for you, people. It's good for yow.
And then some.
Isn't it?
Really good, Mel. We've both got chocolate around our chops.
Oh, man.
I feel a bit like Augustus Gloop from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
He was always my favourite.
He was a good lad, wasn't he?
Yeah, got stuck down the pipe.
He certainly did. But we won't get stuck down the pipe with these babies.
These are actually actively good for you.
So what I like about this, Mel, as we look into a post-January New Year's resolution world, it means we can have our cake and eat it, essentially.
Exactly.
And producer Louise described them as being luxurious and decadent.
But the Brazil nuts as well.
It's the Brazil nuts.
I threw in a few little dried blueberries as well.
Did you?
Yeah, just you need something. You need a bit of purchase, don't you?
I quite like the idea of you baking at home. I imagine that you whistle and then you turn around and there's a load of birds from the garden just on the window ledge looking in.
I get quite grumpy, actually.
Do you?
Yeah, I take it very seriously. And I have two lots of scales, one electronic and one non-electronic, and I double check.
Do you? What, 'cause you don't trust the electronic one?
I don't trust either.
Really?
I double check. I have to have everything laid out. I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Quite grumpy, though.
You're the only person I've ever met in my life who has to get a second opinion on weights and measures in the kitchen.
It's very, very important, though, when you're baking. That's the whole point.
You're getting it absolutely spot on.
It's a science.
So I feel like I've got energy now. That's the other good bit as well. You know, on a Saturday afternoon, I've got a bit of energy. I feel like maybe you and producer Louise can throw a stick for me in a park and I'll have a run around like a dog. Bouncing off the walls.
Let's carry this on through for the whole of our 2 hours together.
It's elite.
It's February. This is the way forward.
Damn right.
More chocolate muffins.
Okay, it's podcast time. Hey, welcome to the inner sanctum that is the podcast team.
I liked the manoeuvre you did when you said inner sanctum there. There was a special sort of, it was like almost like a sort of octopus.
Yeah.
Amazing work with the arms there. Now, what have you got in your pot there?
Let's have a look in the topic pot right now. There it goes. Let's open it up. Oh, what a noise. Sometimes when the topic pot has been resting for a week, it makes a really big groan when you open it up.
Yeah, the rubber seal sort of expands, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Right, all of these have been written by people in our office. Any question goes. Mel, here we go.
Come on, unfurl. Unfurl for me, Bush.
What's the last picture you took on your phone? Ooh.
Now, hang on. That's a really, really good question.
It'll either be like a really nice picture of something, a lovely landscape, or a really boring picture, like when you take a photo of what the SCART leads look like on the back of your computer or something like that.
Or Smuggins, who makes something nice to eat and then takes a photo of it.
And puts it on an Instagram.
I can't bear that.
I know, food photos.
I know, man, food
just
photos.
Eat it. Get on with it and
exactly,
eat it.
Exactly. Right, now, this is silly. I've actually left my phone at home.
Oh, okay.
Today, yeah, I forgot it. I'm going to try and remember. I was scrolling through the photos because I took my daughter to the orthodontist and it was a really long wait. I'm thinking that actually the kids had got hold of the... This is it. The kids had got hold of my phone at the weekend.
Uh-oh.
They took 175 photos of themselves with a friend larking about in front of a mirror.
Little monkeys.
So it was of them... Literally, they were doing nostril flaring.
Yeah.
You know that thing when you... I'm doing it now. It's not very good for radio. It's a very silent, small move. But when you flare your nostrils... So it would be the nostril flaring of three teenagers.
I gave my daughter, 7-year-old, the camera when we were at a family party last Sunday.
Oh, lovely.
I did love seeing the things that kids take photos of. It's very bizarre.
It's so sweet. And everything from a certain height
from
as
a tiny
well.
Little level.
Oh. Did she take some good ones?
She took some brilliant ones, like action shots of grown-ups drinking.
I know. Kids take photos.
Yeah.
Obviously, without thinking, overthinking as much as we do.
Yeah, yeah.
They're often really quite arty as well.
They were great. Some of the stuff she took was brilliant.
Oh.
So there you go. On my phone, though, I've gone backwards because, you know, I'm on digital detox.
So you don't have any photos?
I don't have a phone that takes photos anymore.
How's that?
So it's bizarre, especially when I want to try and prove something to people. Like, oh, look, you won't believe this or whatever. Also, I'm quite boring in that I do take photos of the underside of... wireless routers so I can remember the password without having to go into the chaotic middle drawer in our kitchen, which is full of every wire in the world.
Yeah, we've got one of those.
Terrible place.
Do you know what? I curse it, that silly drawer, but do you know what? Sometimes it can come in very handy.
Oh, the blue tack that's in there, the scissors you'd forgotten about, pins.
Yeah, it's the mail drawer. I don't want to be sexist about it, but it's a slightly male thing, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's male in that there's the stuff that you need in there, and you can't tell exactly where it is. It's quite chaotic, but it doesn't let you down. It'll get there in the end.
Yeah, old adapters and things like that.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, Bush, because of your dig detox, you had no photos on your phone.
Got nothing.
Shall I take a photo of your phone?
That'd be great, just so I can remember what it looked like.
Would that help?
Yeah, my old smartphone.
Yeah. Listen, great stuff, though. Thanks for sharing. It is time. Oh, the excitement is mounting. Bush's Red Letter Day. Bush, tell me everything. What day is it?
You're not going to believe this. It's National Thank a Letter Carrier Day.
That's it. What, like a postie?
Yeah.
Oh, what, hug?
I don't know. I don't know how far you can take it.
Oh, I love that.
We all love getting letters, but do we stop and thank the people who deliver it?
Well, you know? I do at Christmas, Bush. I hope you do too. Mr. I take my tree down on Boxing Day.
Do you tip?
Yes.
Post people
heavily.
As well? Honestly, you are like some kind of mob wife with the amount of money that you're taking out and peeling off to different people in different services. Bin men, give them a 50. Posties getting money as well.
The recyclers, they get 100. Do you know what I'm saying? No, come on, Bush, please tell me you tip.
I don't tip, no. Man.
Oh, we can't. Louise, producer, and I can't. We can't even look him in the eye now.
This is unbelievable. It's changed the atmosphere. But listen, here are three facts about letter writing.
Good.
Number one, prior to the establishment of the penny post, payment for a letter was the responsibility of the receiver, not the sender.
That's great.
You had to be financially solvent to receive post. Number two.
Good fact.
Social media is often considered the catalyst for the modern age of communication, but it's really just the latest iteration. When the penny post was introduced in the latter part of the 19th century, its affordability led to an explosion of letters. The average person in Britain sent 116 letters in 1910.
Whoa.
So in 1910, 116 letters per year, every single person.
Do you think... That's quite a lot, actually.
I haven't written a letter in years.
Oh, I love writing letters, Bush. I
haven't done it for a long time.
Let's send each other a letter.
Shall we?
Yeah. Let's do that. Before next week, let's send each other a letter.
I want someone to write and send for me when they're ready. You know, they used to do that. They'd go and start, move somewhere and send for someone. Can you send for me?
Oh, that's good. That's good. Send for my trunks.
Yes.
Not... swimming trunks, or, you know. Anyway, carry on. Bush, come on.
Fact number three. Victorians invented a fantastically complex system of codes. According to a guy who's written a book called To the Letter, stamps would be placed at strategic angles to signify anything from I love you to I accept your proposal of marriage.
Right, Bush. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to send you a letter.
Yeah.
And the stamp will be strategically placed and you have to guess what I'm saying to you.
Yeah.
And we'll discuss it next Saturday.
Wow, it's going to be like a code-breaking thing.
Yeah, man.
Love it.
Great, great factual and also entertaining stuff.
Thank you.
Hug a postie. Tell them you love them. Bush is constantly doodling. What are you doodling now, my love? There's some sort of graph with lots of arrows going downwards. That's a bit worrying.
I just like to make little notes about where I am, who I'm speaking to, and what I'm about to do next.
A note to self, will write a letter to Mel this week.
Yes.
And I put that on my phone as well, note to self, will write a letter to Bush this week.
And I'm going
to
angle the stamp at a particular angle that sends you a code.
Exactly.
Yes.
Good. I like these little missions that we set ourselves. Now, Bush, how's your week been?
Well, Mel, my week has been full of shock.
Oh.
Because I asked my daughter in the week, I suggested actually, my daughter who's seven, that maybe it'd be nice for me and her to wash the car this weekend together.
Okay.
Now, when I was a kid, me and my brother used to wash my mum and dad's car, the Cortina, all the time.
The Bush Cortina.
It was a terracotta-coloured Cortina. Looked like something you might get out of an E-Fit in Crime Watch back in the late 70s, early 80s.
It's sheer Zed cars, isn't it?
It is Zed cars, and we used to wash it all the time. And my daughter's reaction when I suggested that she might want to wash the car for me, she was horrified. Oh. You'd have thought I'd asked her to retile our roof.
Oh, no.
And she's only seven. I just wanted to get a handle on... As you go through parenting, you learn. So people with older kids will know this kind of thing.
Yeah.
What is the kind of going rate on child labour?
I was going to say, are you paying her?
I'm not going to pay her. At the moment, I worry that she's a bit of a princess and doesn't have to do anything.
Okay, so you want her to get a bit gritty,
a
bit down with a task.
What jobs can you ask kids to do at certain ages? So, your daughters are what age?
13 and 15.
13. Do they do much stuff around
for there? Money, yes, they'll do pretty much anything.
So you have to pay them to get them to do anything?
Well, you see, I don't like that.
Yeah.
That does not sit well with me.
Me too.
And my starchy principles.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, come on, she must love a bit of foam.
She likes a bit of foam. She likes washing, like in the bath and stuff. She likes playing with the foam and everything.
That's where you start, my friend. You get a jolly bucket and foam it up real good, like a sort of one of those clubs in Ibiza that I've never been to.
Like a foam party?
Yes.
From Manumission in Ibiza.
Right. You go Manumission on this, yeah?
Yeah.
You make a big old foamy bucket. You'll have lots of fun with that. And then you gradually just entice her out to the car with the Manumission bucket. And thence the fun begins. She could wear a special outfit to do it. You could get into comedy boiler suits or something.
Little boiler suit, that'd be cute, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be good. And then you could say, oh, we could offer to wash other people's cars in the roads.
Well, I mean, when I was a kid, we used to make pretend perfume in a bottle with roses
and sell water.
Sell it door to door.
Mate, I almost did the same. We used to make jam out of blackberries.
Kids don't do that. Do kids do this stuff anymore?
No, we need to get them out there again.
I don't even know if kids actually wash cars anymore.
Listen, we're going to have a think about this. Just thinking about what we were talking about, you know, getting your kids to do the old Saturday chores, essentially.
Child labour on a weekend.
Things like cleaning out the guinea pig hutch, that has to be done. I did loads of gardening I was a nipper. Tons of gardening for my mum.
Like raking stuff up and things.
Yeah, and quite sort of hardcore stuff, sort of pulling down trees and stuff occasionally.
Really?
With my older sister. Yeah, I've got a memory of pulling on a tree. Maybe we shouldn't have been doing that. I don't know.
All in lumberjack shirts and dungarees. I love it.
What was I thinking? I was thinking kids love a rota.
Yeah.
don't they?
They actually like organisation, don't they, really?
Yeah. So maybe a chart.
Okay.
Call it Bush's Saturday Chart.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like some show you might have heard on Radio 1 back in the mid-70s. Bush's Saturday Chart. And have some... Does she like stickers?
She loves stickers.
Come on, man. So you've got your manumission bucket full of foam. You've got your novelty outfit. You've got Bush's Saturday Chart with all the stickers she loves. Come on, that is making it actually positively easy.
With the 70s vibe and all the foam and everything, it sounds like Tiswas.
Like this is the thing. We make things too easy.
We do.
Right, I need to get Telmail. I need to get my Telmail head on.
Yeah.
Right, you just tell her, you say, listen, young lady, it's time to wash the car, and out you go with this very, very bleak bristled brush and some starch, and you jolly well clean the car, and I don't want to hear from you for the next 45 minutes.
Yeah, and watch her from the top window through the netting whilst I'm writing me memoirs or something.
Kit, come on. We make things, it's all cotton woolly and all, let's just ease the path for you. No, we go Telmail. And good luck with that, Bush.
Thank you.
If not, just give us some money.
The pot passeth to Mel.
The pot passeth.
Passeth.
The pot of pod. Oh, pod of pot. What have you got for us today?
Oh, you're even doing spell hands around the top of the cauldron there. I love that.
It's a bit Cadfile, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
You love Cadfile.
I love Cadfile. I'm going to get you the whole thing on DVD.
Cadfile. Was Brian Blessed in it or something?
No, he's a famous actor, the guy. He's famous for Cadfile. He really
is. Who is it? You see, in the old days, when you had a phone that had information on it, you would have been able to tell me.
Can I say that the toughest thing about digital detox, old-fashioned phone, is when someone sends you an emoji, it's just a black square with a cross through it.
That's quite good.
So you have to fill in the blanks. Like, my mum sent me 3 black squares with crosses in last night. I don't know whether it was a warning or just telling me that she loved me.
That's all it was?
That's all it was.
That's hilarious.
What were the pictures that she sent?
Oh, I don't know, Bush.
There you go.
What kind of mood is she in at the moment?
Swingy.
Is she?
Up and down.
Is she? Is she? So it could have been a happy face, then a poo.
Yeah, exactly.
And then something else.
The highs and lows.
Highs and lows. Right, Bush.
Okay.
Listen ye up. Is there anything you started doing ironically but now do genuinely? That's very good.
Wow.
That is strong. I suppose we could be talking a hobby. We could be talking an expression that you used.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a really very searching question.
Well, do you know what? I got into board gaming. You know, I'm a massively boring board game
geek.
No,
not boring at all.
I go to board game club. You both you and producer Louise both looked down and nodded off slightly there at the same time.
What I want to know, Bush, is
just
give us a few tasters. Are you Kaplunk? Are you Hungry Hippo? Or are you chess?
I'm above all of those in terms of complexity.
Risk?
Even more so than Risk.
So what kind of things do you do?
They take like 4 or 5 hours. Games that are based on like the American Civil War. Lots of pushing cubes around. The horror in producer Louise's face as soon as I said that. But it's things that take a long time to play. I'm very boring man.
So they're games...
very, very boring.
Bush, you're not, my love. You are
boring.
Not. No, you're so not. You're but so not.
It started as an ironic thing. Oh, I tell you what, let's not watch a movie or Netflix tonight. Let's play a board game. And then it's started as an ironic thing and it's now become my main life passion.
So with these games, would you have a sort of little rake and then a pile of money or countries or chips? Is it that kind of thing? Is it sort of taking over the world sort of thing?
Well, yeah. One of the games we played called Lords of Vegas, which is a great game where you buy casinos on the strip and try and make a load of money and try and put other players out of business. There's a game called The Gallerist, which is the one that we're playing at the moment, which is a game about running your own international art gallery and trying
to... that's fun.
Buy paintings and sell them on the markets.
Do the games sort of hang over to the next week then?
I know, we write down the score on a bit of paper, because you get kind of a score at the end of it. My street cred just evaporating. You write the score on a bit of paper, and then we see who wins next week and whether you can beat the previous score.
Do you wear a gilet as you play?
I am going to definitely get a board gaming gilet with pockets on the inside for tokens and fake paper money. That would be an amazing Christmas present for me.
So it did start a bit ironically. It was a bit sort of postmodern,
hipstery
kind of, this could be a bit of fun, and now you're obsessed.
It started off as a one-off and now it's become my thing. What about you? Have you done any ironic stuff that's now ingrained?
Well, it's difficult to say, isn't it? Where does ironic meet genuine?
Mm. I think more so these days, it's all part of the same thing.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You see, people accuse me in my family of having an ironic passion for Crossrail, the new train service that will be hitting London and the environs of London in a year or two.
You do know a hell of a lot about it as well.
I'm obsessed with it, mate.
You go to all the meetings and stuff as well.
I am 100% committed to Crossrail. This week, I am going to the opening of the archaeological museum, which is tied in with Crossrail, because, you know, they've found loads of stuff because they've been digging. They've been digging through London.
Yeah.
They found, like, X amount of skeletons. They found plague pits. They found amazing bits and pieces. I'm going to the opening of that.
Now, Mel, is this...
Totally genuine. I love it.
Is this kind of train buff info, like, in interest, so you're into, like, trains and all the train things, or is it more about your home area and the fact you can get into central London quicker?
There is that, I have to say. We are going to be pretty near a station, which is fantastic.
Great.
But I don't know. I've always loved routes.
Do you?
Routes through, you know, through cities. Yeah, I mean, I'm not one of those people that look at a sort of pore over a... I quite like poring over a timetable. I wouldn't go to a station platform on my own in an anorak.
That's what I was going to say.
With a thermos.
I was going to ask you.
I'm not quite there yet.
Never seen a female train spotter yet in my life.
I have.
I used to live near Bristol Temple Meads and used to see fellas.
There are loads, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, with pads and they mark things down with red biros. That'll be me in about 20 years, mate.
Watch this space.
But no, Crossrail, absolutely wedded to. And that's the pot shutting up there. It's time now, of course, let me straddle, for Tell Mel. Yep, the chair's going back. The thighs are anchoring down. Tell Mel, you can ask me anything. I will not promise that I give you soft-sudded, soapy advice. It's going to come straight from the hip. Tell it to me.
Hi, Mel, it's Megan. I feel I've reached a bit of a dead end and I want to shake up my life a bit. Think of enrolling in a night course. Any course goes. What should I sign up for?
Megan, there's only one answer to this. Astronomy. Take yourself out of yourself. Take yourself out of planet Earth. Go to your local observatory or to your local night school and sign up immediately. You'll see Venus. You'll see Mars. You'll see Jupiter. You will see all sorts of things. It will take you so far out of yourself and then eat a chocolate muffin as well. Good, Megan. Good advice. Next.
Hi, Mel. It's Neil. A mega argument going on in our house between my two daughters about our next pet. Our eldest wants a dog, but our youngest desperately wants a cat. I can't get both, so what should I get?
Go for neither, my love. You do not want to be saddled with the canine responsibility or indeed that of a feline nature. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm going to give you a clue. Wee, 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 wee. Guinea pig. Guinea pig is the answer. It's as big as a puppy, but not as hard work. Next, please.
Hi, Mel, it's James. My mum always texts me in block capitals. Should I say something or not?
James, it's absolutely fine to text in block capitals. I have my phone permanently on block capital mode. In fact, if I didn't, people would find it a bit odd. It says, I am strong, I am emphatic, and if you can imagine her shouting, all the better for it. Mother knows, and your mother knows exactly what she's doing. Never, ever come to me again with that piffling piece of... problem. Yeah? Good, James. Goodbye. Oh, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Hear more larks. Oh, I love a lark. More larks like that every Saturday lunchtime from One on Magic. It's simple.
The Mel Gedroyd Podcast.